this moment, this moment, this moment, it's this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, it's this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this this moment.
This is 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are tuned in to Love in the 21st Century, and my name is Brian Anthony Phoenix. I'm here with the lovely Jessia Cornwise. Say hi, Jessia.
Hello there.
Please.
We're here.
Awesome. Well, just in case you don't know out there, Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, and one-third compassion training, and 100% fun. Yeah, so Jessia is our special guest today, and we are starting our conversations regarding healing modalities that make way for love. And we've been talking for a little bit about having you on because you are involved in several healing modalities. The main one is the Five Rhythms dance practice, which I have personal experience with. It has just been one of the main catalysts for me opening up to love of all sorts. And so, yeah, I'm just really excited to be able to have you on here and talk about your gifts. So I would like to start actually by asking you, you know, what is it currently that you're doing with me on, you know, all the different workshops, events, like what's available, what are people experiencing with you now in the medicine you're bringing?
Gosh. So I guess right at this very moment, I am offering... So every Sunday, I'm part of a collective, Soul Shake Dance Church, which I pick out the church because that confuses people. We like to call it Soul Shake Dance.
Mm-hmm.
The word church got thrown in there, I think, because it's a place where everyone comes together to pray, but we're not praying from any religious place. We're going through the breath and the heart and coming in as a space to dance and be free to feel whatever's needed. So there's that, which everyone's welcome to come to at the Dorothy Johnson Center on Sundays. I personally lead various 12-week in-depth, I call them the deep dive into the five rhythms practice and via the rhythms of acceptance, which is my personal body of work that gets kind of shared around that practice. I have a course that's starting right now, which I thought when we set this date up, there would be openings, but it actually has a wait list with, it's totally full.
Oh,
but
not surprised.
But I will be teaching it again in January, and I do start, feel free to be in touch about that. But that's a course where we use the modality of the five rhythms. We use dance, but it's a lot more than dance. We use dance as a metaphor to look at what does it mean to free ourselves in our hearts, minds, bodies, and spirits, to be truly free in our breath, in our authenticity, in our movement, to become who we really are. And so the classes are not teaching steps, but they're opening you to any blocks within you that stop you from being able to embrace any kind of music, any kind of person in front of you, and most authentically yourself, which is the starting point. And so it's a very catalytic, creative class. Each week is really different, and get really intimate with the group of people over the weeks as you deeply explore yourself. And it's body-based, movement-based, but they're sharing as well. So there's that. There's a Tuesday drop-in dance sanctuary, so for people who just want to come and do something similar to Sunday mornings, but a shorter version. I've been holding that at my home studio for 17 years here, and that's from 10:15 to 11:45 on Tuesday mornings. And then I offer breathwork evenings once a month. I actually have the current dates coming up. There's the next three happen all fall on Thursdays. Thursday, October 12th, November 9th, and December 14th. And that's a class where we're going to use meditation. We're going to have a short meditation, a time to really still the mind after your workday or busy day and set some intention. And then it's a close to 2-hour transformational breath process where people are laying down, they're blindfolded, there's a music set that goes behind it, and a very deep, intensive breathing process that takes you on a journey. And the journey is different each time you do it. Sometimes it releases energy blocks, physical sensations, emotions. Sometimes it takes you into visionary states and mystical states. One of the people I train with was Stanislav Grof, and did a course with him for a while, and I trained with three or four different ones, but it's not that exact, but it's closest to that type. And back in the day, he was trying to find ways for people to access visionary states and alternate states without using medicines at the time or drugs. And so this is a way to do it in a very sober, clear way, and it's super integratable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's a dance after the breathwork part of nearly 2 hours. We do a 50-minute, and I don't want to scare anyone when I say dance. It's an embodiment session. There's time to just get in your body and land.
Right.
So we're not talking or sharing with our minds, but we're just integrating it through movement and breath. If you're really tired, you can sit and stretch. It's not a forced thing. And then there's an integration circle. So that happens once a month.
Nice.
And then I do individual and couples embodiment coaching and spiritual counseling and practices with that. And workshops. I've got a workshop coming up in Arcata with the Five Rhythms coming up at the end of the month as well.
So. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, and you've done workshops kind of all over the state too, right?
Yeah.
Harbin's one.
Yeah,
or Harbin was one.
Harbin and all sorts of festivals through the summers. And
yeah, awesome. And awesome. Well, thank you for letting us know about what currently is going on in town, all the wonderful medicine that you're bringing.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had personal experience with it, and I would say that dance, the Soul Shake is such like just awesome weekly medicine. In fact, I just went for the first time in not that long, and it's just, every time I do that, I'm like, oh, that's what was missing. Yeah. You know, there's this, once you start really getting into it and realizing how incredibly powerful it is, I start to miss it and I don't have it. And I first met you actually.
I was just thinking that. You read my mind. Yeah. I was going, let's tell that story.
Totally. I loved it. I love to tell that story because, I was just coming back into the Chico community, and I was actually living in Paradise at the time, and we went to an art show that Johnny Dutro was putting on at this place over on Orange Street. What was it called? Origami Lounge.
Yeah.
And they had some dancing going on there. And at the time, I definitely was the type of person who just kind of liked to dance, you know, and I was also newly sober. And so it was kind of an interesting experience for me to try to do that without the use of anything. And I just remember meeting you, an immediate connection, just like open, heartfelt, awesome. And then we danced, and that was great, because I think that was like one of the first times I felt like I, you know, in like early sobriety, I was like dancing and just like, oh, I can just just do it. And then you told me, I can't remember the progression, but I didn't go to Soul Shake first. I just talked to you, and then you told me, or I found out about your 12-week deep dive, and I just decided to dive deep. Twice in a row. And it was such a wonderful, profound experience. I mean, I can see how it could be just such a versatile medicine for anybody. Like, even if you're, you know, you're not someone like me who like to dance regularly, I could just see how it could just increase your body intelligence. And speak a little bit more.
It's interesting because so before I got into the Five Rhythms, I always loved to dance, but I never ever thought that I would end up having half my life being centered around offering and teaching and making a living from that experience. I went into psychology, and I've been working as a counselor and a healer, and that was sort of the path I was on. And I remember I was in my boyfriend's band, and suddenly they had me dancing on the stage, and people started saying, will you teach us dance? And I was like, I don't know how to teach you dance. They want to dance with me. And I said, no, I could maybe teach you to dance like you. My boyfriend and I, who was a drummer at the time, got together and we put together classes. And that was where I began the rhythms of acceptance, accepting yourself. You know, lo and behold, down the road, I was working with Debbie Ford, who's I trained as a master shadow coach. So that's another piece that I've done, is helping people integrate their shadows. And again, she was like, there was a dance party with all shadow coaches, and we're dancing. She's like, Jocelyn, you're like the ama of dance. You need to be teaching this around the world. And she's actually kind of gave me the courage to go, you know what, I do need to become a teacher of this and like go get that certification. Even though I was already training, I was like, yeah, allow it to come in. But it was all about dancing like myself. I was like, really? People don't, like, to me, dance is this opportunity to make friends with yourself and to truly, truly love and embrace wherever you're at. So sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be in good shape. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be coordinated or follow steps. It's really, really, for me, all about just, it's a prayer and it's a release and it's one of my deepest healing medicines. It's really saved my life throughout my life. Again and again, you know, just bringing it to the dance floor. And a lot of people who struggle with body image, who struggle with feeling safe to be seen or ashamed or told they weren't supposed to dance. I certainly didn't grow up feeling like, I remember not even feeling comfortable wearing like a halter top. Like that was too sexy. Somehow I got this message I was supposed to hide. And, you know, and so the last thing I ever thought I'd do is just be this free dancing person. But really it was about coming into fullness and coming into acceptance of ourselves. And, you know, I think everyone out there has a place that started from early on, which even with the most sweet, kind, well-intentioned parents, you know, passed on from what was unhealed in their lineage back and back again, you know, brought forth a template for each of us to work with about shedding negative messages that stop us from accepting ourselves. And then we've got a society that puts out all sorts of stories. And for me, self-love isn't about like over-exercising or dieting all the time or being fantastic at something. For me, like, what love in the 21st century needs to be about is the ability to actually get present. Take a breath and notice what's really being called for here. So, you know, in the practices that I teach, you know, I just as much teach showing up and being present. I teach meditation. I teach, what does it mean to like wake up in the morning when you're in a bad space? Like I felt this morning, I felt some sadness come up and I was like, you know, what do we really need to do? We need to find the space to wrap our hands around our heart and give room for the feeling, not try and bust over it or not let it take over so much that we're in a story to the point where we can't see the beauty. It's like, how do we hold the balance? And it is really developing that container where we're with it and we're okay to be with it, because that's the world right now. There's beauty and there's a lot of pain and suffering and craziness happening. And I feel like we're really being called to wholeness. The yin and the yang, you know, coming together, holding ourselves together. And that's what I teach, whether it be through, you know, healing sessions or dance, or is, you know, not ignoring the shadow, not dancing over it, not just blissing out, but dancing through it. And then a deeper bliss, a real landing in self arrives.
Yeah. Wonderful. That was great. I don't even need to ask you any questions. You can just roll with it and you're just good. I like it. Well, I would love if you would like to share a little bit about maybe some markers in the road of your, you know, leading up to even the moment where, you know, people were asking you when you're dancing on stage with your boyfriend, you know, like, you know, being able to dance like that on stage, for example, like what kind of things have you had to overcome in terms of, you know, major markers, you know?
I have a great story that just came up. It just popped right in. So I was born blind in my left eye from birth. And my beautiful, sweet parents were very worried that I wouldn't be accepted. And so they had a lot of fear and had me like wear glasses, which I didn't need. As a protection, they're worried like something could go in my eye, I would lose my one good eye and, you know, all that. And so I looked a little bit more geeky and strange because they tinted it so that I had, it's kind of funny. I went through a lot of different things with my eye when I was a little girl. But I remember being 13 and at the time I was at a dance with boys and girls my age. And I remember some boy, some really cute, popular boy that I wanted to like me asked me to dance, and I realized, yes, I didn't do the slogans. I was so tight. I remember it was a joke. Halfway through, he just left me, and all his friends laughed. Mm. And I remember just that moment of, like, and ironically, like, I Will Survive, or some really funny song came on in the background, which is the story of my life. Like, soundtracks are always, like, completely synchronized with the DJ Divine.
Totally.
You know? Other like really aware of the clowns or whatever, and I remember that moment just going how much I loved to dance, how excited I was to be out there, and this moment of like, oh, I wasn't wanted, I wasn't good enough, and then just going, that is not true. And I would just dance in my basement and turn on the music, and it was this empowerment thing. And I remember that very specifically. I also had a dad who, when he was healthy, he loved to dance with me. And I think that helped my grandma actually when I was really little, did that. So there's like little seeds of love and nourishment where I knew dance made me happy, regardless of what others said. And I think that's why, you know, performance made me nervous. Mm. I actually didn't like to perform. The fact that I can come to radio stations now and talk is really, really funny, and people see me as a very, you know, those people now leading groups and talking to people. It's what I do, but I was not always like this. I was very, very shy and very unconfident as a young girl. Mm. And so, showing up on stage was nervous. In fact, I made choices in my 20s as I realized that it was part of a healing process for me, was to let myself unfold, both with my voice and with dancing. And you know, I would challenge myself. I would say, this isn't everyone. I believe, because I could see how much I could heal and how much better I felt about myself when I was not under any story that there was something wrong with me. Like Tubby Love's song, "You Are Already More Than Enough." I was like, what a perfect intro. And that's why I suggested, let's play that song. I was like making me loose and like dancing right here, just feeling that permission. Because really, we are born enough. Everyone listening, everyone out there, everyone here was born with a perfect gift. And unfortunately, most of us got placed on filters, and I think it's part of the human design, actually. I think it's part of the human experiment. We're here to figure it out. What do we set up with? What's our special medicine? And really, ultimately, under every medicine is the ability to love ourselves and the ability to love others, and it's channeled through many different forms. But when we get those messages that we're not lovable, we're not good enough, there's, you know, and that gets bombarded, it's really easy to lose sight. Am I making sense now?
Absolutely. You're making lots of sense. Yeah. You're channeling. How about it? Yeah. No, that's great. I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah. And that's, and I really see some congruences in, like, the work that I'm pursuing now in that regards, you know, because, like, I'm focusing on the vocal aspect, and I can see all the stories, right, in the past that people, you know, when I tell people about I'm doing vocal workshops, and I'll see that kind of cringe look, like, ooh, like my voice, I don't want to, you know, and I can't sing, I can't, you know, and I see the same thing with dancing, and it's just, it's funny, like, you've helped turn me into a dance floor starter, which is really kind of fun, because sometimes, you know, I don't go out very often, but sometimes I do, and when I'm at, like, a bar or something, and it's, you know, it's kind of got a dead dance floor, like, I'll just go out there and dance, and it's so funny to watch what happens, and you see, like, the people that were, like, we're ready to dance, but they just didn't want to be the first ones out there, and all of a sudden you see this, like, tall, lanky, you know, dude just, like, going at it, and they're like, oh, okay.
You know, it's amazing. That's so funny you brought that up, because that's what it is when you hit that point of freedom. I mean, I literally, in my 20s, had bands asking, like, they would pay me to come to their shows and start the dance floor up.
Nice.
Because they knew that I was infectious, and it was because I wasn't trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
I wasn't like one of those ladies, like, and I don't even mean it as a make fun of. I think a lot of the people you see who look like they're trying to be sexy, they're awkward. They actually don't know that sexy comes from true authenticity.
Right. And so absolutely.
And so I think a lot of people, men and women both, are putting on these postures that they're taught, like, this is what I'm supposed to show you to make me lovable or attractive. And it's so sad. And what I like to teach is, like, oh, that's just like one, you know, hundredth of what's available to you for you to be you and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So how would you say, so in regards to, I'd like to talk specifically about, like, the five rhythms practice. And I'd like to ask you, first of all, like, what led you to that practice specifically? What was it that attracted you to that? What was kind of the journey in that?
So I was living in the Bay. I had moved from Michigan to San Francisco to study at the California Institute of Integral Studies, where I got my master's in counseling psychology. Mm-hmm. And there was a Barefoot Boogie in that area, which was this collection of people who had all been studying with people like Gabriel Roth and... right now I'm spacing out on every other teacher that I can think of, so we're just going to stay right there.
Right.
But you know, all the dance, free dance teachers, they were all there. Mm. And so I was led there, and as soon as I went there, I was like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And so I came back each week and then found one in Marin as well. And then I actually realized how important dance was, so that I actually went and I, before my workday working with clients, I rented a studio on my street in the Richmond District down by Golden Gate Park. I would rent it out every morning for an hour, and I had a personal practice where I would go there from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. I'd walk down the street. I think I'd grab my coffee at the time, you know, and I would put on music, and I would dance, and I would cry, and it was like, it was my therapy, and I was doing therapy with therapists. I was receiving the medicine I was, you know, training in, but there was something about getting it through the body that broke the barriers of my mind story and would just move me forward. So, so I would do that, and that would lead me into that. And then I started meeting, who was it? I went to a workshop. My friend Justin Hilton said, I can't believe you've never met Gabrielle. You're meant to meet her. Her son Jonathan's in town. I'm going to take you to this workshop. So Justin and I went to Jonathan's workshop. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan said, I can't believe you don't know my mom. You guys need to meet. Come to her course this spring at Esalen. And I did. And the path was sealed then. And I was already teaching Rhythms of Acceptance. And they actually, Gabrielle and Kathy Altman and Lori Salzman, you know, granted some permission for me to teach even before I was certified, because they saw what I was doing. And so I was gifted a little thing. And I did get certified after that with them. But there was such a blend. And Jonathan saw that right away. And what I was teaching in the Rhythms of Acceptance, these dance classes I developed to help people find their voice, to find their authenticity, to break through the stories, and to actually connect with each other. That was the other thing that dance did, is I've never been a very good social talker. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to lead groups, and I love one-on-one, but, like, put me in a, like, I've gotten better at it, but I'm not so great. I'm not a chit-chatter.
Right.
And so I would have this experience where I'd be in a workshop, and I actually would connect with everyone through the movement and through the breath and through experiencing things. And that is when I started to feel at home. So I followed that, and that led me further into the Five Rhythms practice. And yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that practice as you're seeing it work with the people that you're working with. I think I'm going to go ahead and actually, we're going to take our break. We're not quite at half the hour yet, but I want to break now so that we can kind of start a new chapter after that. So you're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm here with Jessia Cornwise on Love in the 21st Century. We're going to play a little Durst promo, and we will be right back with you all.
Hey, guys, Will Durst here to say, Labor Day? Already? You gotta be kidding. How the hell did that happen? 8 months of the year have expired? 2017 is two-thirds over? You know why that's frightening? Because it means any day now, radio stations are gonna switch to wall-to-wall Christmas music. As holidays go, the first Monday of September gets no respect. It's that last lonely baby carrot on the festival deli tray. The metal folding chair next to the furnace that only gets pulled out when company invites company. The tomato plant in the back row closest to the fence that those darn gophers found so tasty. Part of the problem is the name. Labor Day smacks of major difficulties, especially to mothers who have experienced birth. Comes really close to glorifying chores. A stress proponent. Futile attempt to promote drudgery. Might as well call it Dentist's Drill Day. Maybe we should start a movement to rename it Extra Day Off Day or Bonus Day. Cake Day. Who doesn't like cake? Just never forget that Labor Day honors the living, not the dead. our workforce, a single day off, so the real 9-to-5 heroes that keep this country humming can relax before squaring their shoulders and getting back to the job of carving out a better future. Raising 2.3 kids and paying off a mortgage with enough left over to cover the cable bill and at least one premium channel thrown in. So whether you flip burgers or beach houses, run a stockroom full of board length, or a lengthy boardroom full of stockholders, enjoy your day off. You deserve it. Gather friends and family and wave a fond farewell to all that excess sunshine and bid hello to the calming of the light. No need to bring gifts, although flowers and wine never go out of style. Ah, hell, make it a six-pack. And while you're at it, some cake. Or KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
All right, you're back here at FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. My name is Brian Anthony Phoenix, and we have a special guest on. If you're just joining us, your name is Jasia Cornwise. And Jasia offers many different amazing things in our community around dance and breath work. How do you say your counseling service?
I have the Satori Healing Center, and my website's www.rhythmsofacceptance.com, and I do spiritual counseling and guidance as well, and embodied listening and loving.
Embodied listening and loving. Awesome. So we were just starting to get into what brought you to the Five Rhythms dance practice, and I would love if you would like to speak a little bit about what is the experience of the people that attend your courses? Like, what is it that you're seeing happen as a result of people diving deeply into this amazing medicine?
Yeah. You know, it's been truly profound. I have people come through the courses who literally are terrified to move, who are ashamed of their bodies, and who truly feel awkward and uncomfortable to be seen. Some of them have really, you know, a bad relationship to their body, and they leave feeling freer.
Mm-hmm.
They leave having breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. Some of them leave with very deep, insightful inner guidance. Some of them have healed. I teach a very specific body part practice where we each week we really spend time listening to our body parts, and it saved people from injuries. It's given people very clear guidance on how to take care of themselves, very direct information. I see people come out of those classes wanting to dance, and actually, you know, most of them end up dancing at Soul Shake or with me on Tuesdays pretty definitively afterwards. It's like they find a medicine that is doable daily, affordable. You could do it by yourself, you could do it with a group, and they learn how to not just dance, but actually how to be connected to themselves, how to move anything that's left: anger, grief, fear, sadness, a need to express power, a need to express joy, sexuality, sensuality, playfulness. All those things find their voice through the body and through the tears, through the laughter. And there's also a community of people that normally maybe not connect. I'm kind of always struck. I start and I look at the group of people I start with. I'm like, wow, we have a very diverse group of people, like very different political, spiritual, emotional perspectives, physical experiences, mental experiences. And I've not yet seen a class that hasn't been a complete room full of love, honestly, within a week. But yeah. I mean, by the end, it's profound connections have been made that wouldn't have been made otherwise.
Yeah, that was actually something I really noticed very strongly in those classes, is just, yeah, a group of people that may not interact normally, you know, out in the world for whatever reason. And just how, yeah, deeply we can drop in because we're there to hold each other and grow, and seeing those breakthroughs in each other has just been pretty profound.
Yeah, we were born with these bodies, and we were never taught how to be with them. We were taught how to leave them. From early on, we're taught how to deny them, how to not listen, how to pay attention to the outside world. And so this is an invitation back into listening to yourself. And it translates not only on the dance floor, but in all your relationships.
That's wonderful. So the one thing I might ask then is, and you can, you know, just, you can be as general as you want to be. You don't have to go too much into process, because people experiencing your course will do it. But how does the Five Rhythms how does it unlock that? How does, like, what is it about the Five Rhythms practice specifically that allows that the space to be created for these people to have these profound experiences?
Well, I mean, people have profound experiences with dance all the time.
Right.
And I would say that that's true in ecstatic dances and in dance classes. There's something about it naturally that lends itself with the breath and the body and the freedom and the music to opening. How I particularly guide this particular course, I feel like I create avenues for people to go deeper in their sharing and in their exploration than potentially they might otherwise. And each rhythm is dedicated to a developmental stage of growth, is dedicated to different aspects, our body, our hearts, our minds, our soul, our sense of spirit, our connection to the elements, our connection literally to the way in which we have told ourselves stories within each of those. And I'm starting to notice where we might be checked out of certain rhythms. We might be checked out. We might be really good at being in touch with the part of us that's an inner listener, but not be able to express ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or we might be really good at talking and expressing and following orders, but have no idea how to free ourselves up. And so the rhythms work, the five of them cover it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that was the profound experience that I had too, was being able to apply those rhythms and see how they work in life, you know, and seeing, oh, wow, that rhythm does sync up with this aspect of my human experience. And the profound thing that I experienced was, in working through dance, I was able to come to insights of how I could operate out in the world when that similar type of rhythm, that similar type of, you know, vibration is happening around me, and how I can navigate it more gracefully.
Yeah, the five rhythms, you know, I use all different kinds of music, and the intent of the rhythms is it covers everything, which in a way covers the spectrum of humanity.
Yeah.
And so I say, even if you don't like the music or you don't like this track, you know, you have to, well, you can check out, you can leave this world. That's, you know, some people do make that choice, but the option I'm inviting is, what if you can find your way through any situation? What if you can learn to dance your way through it, to show up and find, well, what's authentic for you in this moment here? What can you open to? What's blocked out of old stories? What's blocked because it's just not true for you? And how do you dance with it and show up rather than disappear?
That's beautiful. Sounds like a good invitation if you're listening. You know, my love Erica texted me and she said, Jasia is making me think that I need to dance. And I said, yes.
Yes, Erica.
Yes.
Come dance.
You absolutely do. Well, I'm not going to tell you, but I highly suggest it. Awesome. Well, thank you for telling us about that. And if you want to know more, can you say your website one more time?
www.rhythmsofacceptance.com or email me at satorihealingcenter@gmail.com. And that's the email that I respond to. The website's got more information and things like that.
Awesome. And there's a Facebook group, too, that keeps up with the dance stuff. And what's the title of that Facebook group? Is it five Rhythms?
Five Rhythms, Soul Shake.
Chico.
Chico, or Rhythms of Acceptance. Or you can even try and friend me and say, I heard your show and I want to find out. Just send me a message and I'll friend you if you're listening.
Absolutely, yeah. Because Facebook is where you see a lot of the updates of what's going on, too. So, yeah, thank you for letting us know about that. So next, yes, I'd love to talk to a little bit more about the breath work of medicine that you're offering. And if you want to just go ahead and go into specifically, you know, what you're finding, what people are experiencing and the medicine that's happening there, then please feel free to do so.
The breath work is a really amazing way to go very deep inside and allow... It's the breath will move you into states of awareness and releases that otherwise your conscious mind would not necessarily have you go. And I've seen people have profound, like they've been trying every other method and this is what allowed them to grieve. So sometimes like people will start sobbing or unexpected old traumas will come through in very gentle ways where it just comes up and it's seen and the body releases, shakes or shudders or tears. Or sometimes it's ecstasy. I've seen people have a profound kind of kundalini come through their body or kind of kriyas and a lot of opening in their healing, in their sexuality. I've seen people just calm down, like release anxiety, feel like they just had this complete bath because they let it all through and they're just taking in all this new air and kind of updating information. One of the things when I started doing breath work as a receiving it, I was doing some work with a Hakomi therapist at the time, which is a body-based therapy that I was working with. And
Hakomi.
Okay. Yeah, really great stuff. And I realized that I didn't know how to breathe. I mean, that sounds so silly, right? We all breathe daily, but someone would say breathe, and I had no idea how to do it. And I always felt like I was doing it wrong. Well, obviously, I wasn't doing it wrong. I mean, I was alive, but apparently, I mean, my person actually told me I was doing it wrong. But what it sent me to is to go do breath work. And when I started doing breath work, I was absolutely terrified. And the feeling of having, and what it was is it was control. It was all these ways I learned to control my feeling body, my energy body, that I probably learned really early to clamp down on some emotions and some feelings and some recognitions I didn't want to see, that had put me in some breathing patterns that were rather shallow and actually weren't allowing all sorts of creativity and aliveness and true authenticity to flow. So when I actually started doing the breath work at first, I would have panic attacks like, I can't do this, I'm scared, and this is so hard. And eventually, and some of my students who do this now, they have that the first time. And then the second time they come back and they have like heaven. It's completely different. It's like a surrendering or realizing you're being breathed. We don't have to work so hard. The work and the effort that comes is all the ways we had to become what we were not. And the breath work frees us up to release what we are not. And again, come into the natural alignment of our breath. Although this is a little forced, but it actually does. That the fast part in the beginning of the breathwork session, you do push it, but it then slows down and it has this amazing effect on the body. It's like a clean out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had some profound experiences with breath recently, you know, and it's just I've been seeing a lot of different modalities out there, and I've just been kind of like picking these different ones and just kind of experimenting with it. I haven't had an opportunity yet to drop in on yours, which I'm going to.
Awesome.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Absolutely. But even just like doing like the breath of fire from, you know, from pranayama, like doing that. And then, the difference that it makes in oxygenating the blood, for example, like before I jump in like cold water and just like, you know, just like on a physical level, it's profound what happens, but just being able to breathe through situations now where I'm like just being just a bit more awareness, even just a little bit more awareness of the breath, just is a profound difference.
It is. It's amazing. You know, working with the breath at those very subtle states. And that is phenomenal and extremely effective. And what this also does is, so you're in a group field, and sometimes I'll be amazed, like I'll look at one corner of the room, you know, no one's speaking, and six of them all went to the jungle in Costa Rica and had the same vision. And in the sharing circle, they're all talking about the jungle in one corner. It's like that corner was transported there.
Yeah.
And then across the room, there's like two people who are having the same like trauma release because one's activating the other. And so there's a field of energy that's much larger. Sometimes people see guides come in. It's really deep shamanic states come in when you're on this 2-hour journey. And because you're laying down, your body can surrender in a way where you can really be taken. Or not. You can fight it. You can roll around and kick. Some people stay really in the body, and that's a really beautiful journey too. And there's no right or wrong. What comes is what needs to come, and it's different each time.
Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds wonderful. So, can you go ahead and announce the upcoming ones that are coming with that again?
Right. So I do need pre-registration for it because I only have so many people. I do some light touch, and sometimes I do a little, I was trained in massage and Reiki, and there's certain moments where I'll come in and do a hold or whatever. So I need to make sure that I have there's enough people that I can hold all the people. So there's a reserved amount of peeps. Thursdays, let's see, I've got my flyer right here, October 12th. November 9th and December 14th. It's from 6 to 9:30. It's actually, if you sign up for all three once a month, it's $90 for all three, or $35 per session, and you can get hold of me.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'd like to transition for our last little bit here of the show. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the future. What do you envision, or how do you envision dance? And breath work, the gifts that you're offering, and your personal services, like how do you see this fitting into the world at large, just becoming a more harmonious place?
Well, it's been happening. I mean, it's, you know, I've been doing this for a long time now, over 25 years, and when I started, you know, there was a group of us doing it. And now everywhere you go, you can see more and more people stepping into leading breath, leading music, leading dance healings. And I think the reason this happens, and how they also so connect with the environmental crisis, and they unite people from all backgrounds. We have something in common. We all have a body.
Mm.
We all have breath. We all have a voice.
Absolutely.
And when you're moving from that place together, backgrounds, colors, belief systems dissolve, and something, a wholeness unites. And there are a lot of people that say this is the healer, you know, the music and the dance and the breath is what's bringing it together. And, you know, when I go through the festival circuits, I saw just incredible, Native elders were at this last festival I was at, and they were crying. They were saying, I just want to stay here. There's so much love here. That they were amazed at the amount of healing that was actually going on at these kind of like California, Oregon festivals.
Right, right.
But I think that really says something that there's so much heart that gets produced. And I really think it's the united heart of our similarity rather than our difference. And then seeing our differences, like fully seeing them and wanting to know, we communicate about them together,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned the elders and because I see in dance and I see in voice and in breath, and I see that tribal wisdom and like how important that is to get back to. I mean, we can all trace lineage back to tribes that all sang, that all danced,
right.
that all joined in unison, and right. they did that with intention.
Yeah.
You know, they did it for healing, they did it for rain, they did it for abundance, they did it for grieving, they did it for, you know, all the you know, the processes that we go through as humans that have been so individuated.
Right.
You know, like we're our own little individual islands yeah. that are expected to, you know, scratch and claw our way to the top of whatever success ladder we're told to, when it's like, what's going to happen? Like, what happens when we join together as a tribe again and explore this together?
Yeah, I think it brings us back in some ways to what are we here to do? You know, we have these ideas. We're supposed to do something out here. And really, we're born to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we can be in that beingness, I think we're at a time where we really need to get a little more aware of the extent of our greed. And of our lack of awareness of our resources. And so when you realize how much is right here in the very vessel we were brought in, you don't need a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it brings up a good point. I mean, how do you feel like dance? Well, I mean, I know that you've done several different journeys that have connected you in this way, but how does dance and breath work and the offerings that you have, how do you find that helps people connect more deeply with like the earth, for example, and the just the way of nature and that, yeah. that synchronicity, that harmonization? Yeah.
Well, you know, I spend some classes where we work more with stillness without the music.
Mm.
And sometimes that helps people and sometimes the music does. But really, I think people getting in their bodies automatically, because we are made of nature.
Yeah.
You know, our blood, our bones, we are that. We are made of this earth. And when we land further and further into it, our body is very clear about what it needs and what it doesn't. And our body, you know, it'll translate right into diet, good diet, real food, clear energy, like becomes very clear the more you listen to your body.
Mm.
It's hard to deny it when you're actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us closer to caring for our earth and caring for the bees and caring for the land and the water. It becomes so clear when you're toxic and how that affects what you've taken in and what you've not taken care of, and how the earth is connected to that. I think there's an immediate thing that starts to happen when you come into your body with the earth and with what, you know, in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're listening, just as a check-in, to remind you that you're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. My name is Brian Anthony Phoenix. You're listening to an interview with a special shining medicine woman, Jasia Kornweis, who offers wonderful gifts to the community. So let's actually do a recap just of the dance offerings that are going on currently, just since we did that at the top of the hour. We'll do it kind of more towards the end here. Yeah, just if you can run through the gamut of the offerings that are going on right now that people can get linked into to start exploring this.
So as far as group offerings go, every Sunday morning at the Dorothy Johnson Center, doors open at 10. There's a little warm-up, and from 10:30 to 12, there's a dance that myself and Luke Anderson, Krisha Longacre, and Sarah Nutting host, and I've been doing that for 8 years there, and I've been doing it previous to that. Occasionally on Sundays, and we needed more, and we came together and made it much bigger and better with all those beautiful helpers and all the people contribute. So that, there's that. Tuesday mornings, I have a dance sanctuary from 10:15 to 11:45, a similar just non-guided dance wave. I have my 12-week series that's about to start. It is full with the wait list, but there will be another one in January. There are breathwork, once a month breathwork workshops that also include some dance and some meditation. I do one-on-one work with people and sometimes work with couples as well, working on embodied presence and listening and using the body and using the heart and the spirit to look at what's authentic and what's not and to learn to express and connect.
Nice.
And I have done some other workshops, which I imagine I'll be bringing back at times, morning motions of devotion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's current right now.
Awesome. So for the for those who are listening and who are interested in starting to explore this, let's start just locally because I think I know somewhat of the answer. But if people want to start exploring this, which of those offerings would you say is a good one for them to just kind of, you know, start looking into?
So if you're really intimidated by big groups of people, you might want to start, but you just want to like move and you're not ready for a 12-week series, consider my Tuesday morning. Consider coming in, and there's so few people who show up on that, but if you just want a safe space to start to move your body with the most non-judgmental group ever,
right,
that's one. If you like the energy of a big group of people or you want to be open to that, it's a really safe group on Sundays. That's another really easy way to drop in. If you want to get really have a profound transformation, a lot of my peeps that I know say it's the deepest therapy they've ever done is my 12-week series, because it is mind, body, spirit, and it, you have to work with yourself. You have to work in a group. You have to work one-on-one. And it's both fun and deep and changing. So, you know, it, and then the breath work, if you're feeling like you're not sure you have the energy for a really big physical practice at the level of dance, but you really want to get deep, it's a great way because you're lying down. And then the part that is dance, you don't have to. You can sit and meditate or stretch or do whatever you need. You just need to stay present and land in your body in whatever way works for you. So is that what you meant?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you meant it.
And then for those, because I know there's some people listening from out of town.
Yeah.
So if they wanted, so, you know, I would say that probably ecstatic dance, finding an ecstatic dance near them would be a...
Check out the Five Rhythms and the Open Floor. Those are two segue that happen after Five Rhythms and Soul Motion. Those are also really great. Anna Halpern's work is also really great. Some really great dance medicines, continuum movement practices. Those are all conscious movement practices.
Absolutely. Awesome. And for those who are like right on that threshold of doing it, but have that little bit of fear, like what would you tell them about stepping in that door? Like what are they going to expect?
I want to tell you that there's no way you can do it wrong.
Yeah.
That you'll absolutely be loved. That the little voice that kind of wants to do it is scared is a good sign, and feel free to call me and I'll talk to you on the phone about it. And I really, really welcome you. I truly, you know, 98% of the people who take that course are 100% satisfied. And every once in a while, someone's really not ready for it and they bail. And that's okay. I really trust that, you know. But truly, it's genuinely a timed, if you feel the urge, listen.
Yeah.
Follow your soul call.
Absolutely.
And also, I just really wanted to say that, like, the medicines I offer, the healing work I offer is also just, I sit in people in presence in very quiet ways too, and work with practices that are very authentic. We focused on dance, but the reason I'm bringing that in is, you know, love in the 21st century, it's not always out in that movement-based way. That's one way. But, you know, as I was saying, presence, you know, or even simple things like looking for the beauty. I feel like right now we really need to look for the beauty in things.
Absolutely.
And finding gratitude, finding something to be grateful for, taking a picture of it every day, looking for it. Hugs. If you are in need of some love, hug your friend. Hold it for 30 seconds. No kidding. It is a recharge. There's just so many ways we lack contact. And a lot of people are really afraid to make eye contact, to truly be authentic. They talk about what's going on outside of them. And a lot of people just truly deeply want to be heard. And so I invite you to love yourself enough to try one of those things. Say, hey, I just heard this, and do you want a hug, or do you want to talk about something real, or I just need to be heard. Or maybe we should go try this dance together. Grab a friend if you're nervous. Come on Sunday. I'm DJ this Sunday. I'd love to see you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The theme is going to be Lit From Within. It's at 775 East 16th Street at the Dorothy Johnson Center. 10 a.m. doors open. You can kind of wander in as you like, but definitely if it's your first time, be there by 10:25 for the opening circle.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I'll say what else we'll say about that too is that I've experienced just a couple other ecstatic dances other than what we do on Soul Shake. And I think we have an awesome gym, you know, because the way that it starts with the intention, with the opening circle, the way that we have the ending circle, the container that's held, just the general vibe. You know, I think all ecstatic dances are awesome, and I think anyone should not be afraid to experience them. But each one has its own kind of vibe, and some of them are more busy, more bodies. I'm going to the Nevada City Ecstatic Dance later on today, and there's a lot of bodies by the end of it. So it's kind of like, you know, we got some space here, and I just feel like really held by the community. And I think if you're in Chico and you're interested in this, we really have like one of the best opportunities for you to drop into it, because it's just such a great space, non-judgmental and open and free, and yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for everything that you do and everything that you started and everything that you're continuing. I have one more thing to ask you. If you were to create a bumper sticker or like a billboard or something, just like, you know, like a sentence or two, you know, brief that you want people to see and hear right now, you know, in this time, what would you say?
Listen to the voice within, sing it out, move it free, step into all that you truly are and were always meant to be. I love you.
Nice.
That's what came out. I don't know if that was a bumper sticker.
That was beautiful.
But that's what just came out.
I love that. I'm glad we recorded this, because we're going to make that into a bumper sticker. That was perfect.
It's long.
Wonderful. It's good. We'll make it work. Or a billboard. All right, so we're going to play a song on the way out. So we were looking for, is it Hannah Lee?
It's Hannah Lee.
Hannah Lee.
And Mary Kyle and Sadie Rain, and we were at my house, and they recorded this. And Brian, you want to tell that? That was hilarious.
Yeah, I was looking for a Hannah Lee song, and we couldn't find it. And I was like, well, how about this one, Heartbeat Session? And she's like, that was recorded at my house. So it's Murray Kyle, Hannah Lay, and Sadie
Rainin.
Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you for listening to Love in the 21st Century. Up next, we have Ecotopia. So please stay tuned. And next week, we will have Desiree Susan's coming on. We're going to continue our talk about healing modalities that make way for love. So please stay tuned next Thursday at 5 p.m. We will be back with you. We love you all. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Your journey is my own.
diversity. Together we're remembering our strength and purity. Sisters, your journey is my own. Oh, brothers, your journey is my own. Singing for freedom in our hearts. Singing for freedom, this is where we start. We're singing for freedom in our hearts. We're singing for freedom, this is where we start. Through all the illusions, through all the pain games, through all the illusions, through all the pain games. Being through, I know I am true. Being through, I know you are true, because you are the love that I am. Yes, we are the love that we are, forever flowing beyond this earth and stars, forever shining beyond this earth and stars. Freedom, this is where we start. We're singing for our freedom in our hearts. We're singing for our freedom, this is where we start. Through all the illusion, through all the pain games, through all the illusion.
Precious resource. Ay, ay, oh, now. Ay, ay, oh. And I can taste all the power we all hold when we move as one source. Ay, ay, oh, now. Ay, ay, oh. And I feel ashamed for the way we are walking on a precious mother. Ay, ay.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, looking at the cure for catastrophe.
Up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swing hot spot. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged all the people a dollar and a half just to see them. I said, don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. The day paradise put up a parking lot. Farmer, farmer, put away that DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, believe me, the birds and the bees. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They pay paradise, put up.